Welcome back, everybody, to the CPL Newsroom presented by Volkswagen. If you're with us here, you may already know that this is our 2024 season preview series. This is the second one that we've done. We are moving right down the table from Cavalry to Forge FC, our North Star Cup champions from 2023. Again, 10 minutes, five questions on Forge. I am starting the clock right now. And here we go. Mitchell, question number one. Forge just won their fourth trophy in the CPL. Can they stay motivated for a sixth season?
Question number one for me. Did you change the alarm on the timer there?
Because I did. Producer... It's actually going to be so much worse this time.
Oh, no. Producer Benny, I think, described it as forks in a blender, which was an apt sound for what it was the first time. But
I think that's harsh. But
yeah, that kept Forge me motivated to get to the 10 minutes. But yeah, I think in terms of Forge staying motivated this upcoming season, you know, new faces help. I think there's a bit more competition for places maybe than there were in years past. I mean, last year they brought back almost their entire team. And while we thought that would lead to consistency, I think in some ways it led to complacency of guys, you know, kind of already knowing where they stood. And I also think internally, you know, there's a lot of Forge players who maybe won't be happy with their performance in 2023. A lot of that is injury related, but I'm thinking of guys like Tristan Borges, David Chouinard, Jordan Hamilton, maybe even a guy like Alessandro Hojabrapor, you know, who didn't maybe take that step forward that we all thought he would in 2023. So I think, you know, there's plenty of guys that are heavily motivated to get them back to that level. And I think that that's only going to, you know, help Forge once again be near the top of the pack this upcoming season.
Yeah, I feel like this is a question that we asked of Forge last year when they'd won their third championship, and the answer when it came down to it was yes. Now, it was a bit of a strange year for them, maybe not as consistent in the regular season as they'd like to be, but I think if there's one thing we know about the CPL at this point, it's that when it really comes down to it, Forge switch it on, they find an extra gear. I think that, as you said, there's a lot of things for them to work out this year. You know, they fell behind to start games a lot last season. They are probably not going to want to have to make life as difficult for themselves as they did, you know, having to come from behind. 17 points from losing positions last season, because they were in losing positions a lot and they had scored a lot of late goals, including an extra time of a final. They'd like to be a little bit more consistent with that. But again, as we know, they know that, you know, their philosophy is all they have to do is get to a playoff game, and they know that they feel like they can win it.
Yeah.
And that's gone. And again, you know, you talk to players, even the ones that have been there for all four of these championships, they still know that this feeling doesn't come, you know, it feels like it comes all the time for them, but they know that it's still something that you can't take for granted. And it's not something that ever gets old, right? Celebrating a championship in a locker room, it's not something that they're going to sniff at or take for granted. Question number two. Can this Forge backline this year keep up the defensive standard that they have set? A couple of departures. Obviously, Mandrakar James was a Defender of the Year nominee. Resort Rama was one of the best defensive fullbacks in the league last year. Bit of change in the backline. Mitch, can they stay at that standard?
I think they can, but there's definitely questions. I mean, again, internally, you know, a guy like Garvin Matusula, Malik Olabi-Belawu, they'll probably get more minutes this season. And I think both those players are very capable of stepping in and being solid. You know, Daniel Parra is a huge signing, all kinds of experience in, you know, the best league in this region. So that certainly helps and adds quality, and they just go to strength there. But I think the big question is, you know, in net, which hasn't been a question in years. It's been Tristan Henry, you know, considering he missed the CONCACAF fixtures. We're not fully sure of the situation there. I thought Colongo was very solid during CONCACAF, and I think in terms of his ability to distribute the ball really well, there's something that can be added there. We haven't seen Yassim Kolilat yet, but, you know, a player who comes with decent pedigree out of US University. So there's quality there still, but it's a question mark when it hasn't been in previous years.
Yeah, for sure. And for those who don't know, Forge officially said that Tristan Henry was taking some time away for personal reasons during CONCACAF. It appears that Christopher Colongo is likely to be the starter for this team to begin the season. We'll see how that situation evolves. But again, the back line. For me, Malik Olabi-Belawu was maybe Forge's best player in the first game against Chivas. At left back as well. Incredible. And don't forget that a player that's coming back for Forge, Eliman Cisse. I think he might be the one that slots in at right back for this team, even though he's more naturally a midfielder. Can play pretty much anywhere on the pitch, though, as we've seen him in his time with this club. Moving on to question three. At the other end of the pitch, what does the Forge attack look like? What is the best front line for this team? Obviously, the only big departure is Wubens Passius. They've brought in Nana Mpoma. What do you think is the winning combination for this team?
Yeah, I think the winning combination might be just finding three that are really good and sticking with them, because I think that's been an issue over the past couple seasons, is the fact that they just tend to switch it up a lot, and it's been hard to find consistency for a lot of these players. And I think there is a lot of exciting options, that's for sure. Nana Mpoma comes in with an incredible resume, was excellent in Belgium a few years ago. And I think what's exciting about him is he has played a little bit as a center forward, which is incredibly important with Passius leaving. At the same time, I don't think you take Taron Campbell out of the lineup just yet, considering what he's done. The league's all-time leading goal scorer. Seems like Benny Badibanga's going to be the guy to go on the left. Mm-hmm. A full season of him, considering what he was able to do in just a short snippet last season, was really impressive. On the right at the moment has to be David Schwanier, I think. Just his ability to step up in big games. But again, Tristan Borges is going to absolutely push both sides, I think, for that position. You've got a former player of the year there. And you've got young Kevon Tavernier, who gets to learn from all of these guys as well, which I think is an incredible asset. So I think it's the three I mentioned, but I think, hopefully Bobby is a little bit more consistent with who he chooses this year, I think.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think, again, because it is mostly the same group, the task is going to be on all these guys to win that job. I think we saw Badibanga kind of win it towards the end of last season. He was maybe the only one that was kind of nailed into a spot there because of how quickly he burst on the scene. David Schwanier obviously went through some injury issues last year. I think he had surgery on his knee and then still came back and was able to play in a final, which, insane. But, if he's healthy all the year, then he's obviously a massive part of this team. I'm interested in Taron Campbell this year without having that competition for minutes from Wubens Passius. There is Jordan Hamilton still there with him. And he's obviously a very experienced player. He's going to push him. But I think it feels to me like Taron Campbell is, kind of the guy at the number nine spot this year. And I think there is going to be some pressure on him to be that consistent performer, which he hasn't always been in a Forge shirt, I think. So maybe this is his year. Question number four for Forge. We've got just over 2 minutes left. Which new signing do you think is going to have the biggest impact for this team?
I think it's Eliman Cisse. I mean, it's a massive bonus anytime you can bring in a player of that caliber who's already familiar with the system and the league. That takes away some of that integration process that can be difficult for certainly international players, but even domestic players as well. He can play, like you said, that right fullback position. He can step into the midfield. He fits the Forge MO in terms of tactical fluidity. I think that's an exciting signing for them, and one that you could just tell based on Forge fan reactions how good this player has been for them, and just how important he could be for them again this year.
A new old signing. I think I'm going to go with Daniel Parra at left back, just like because it. He is such a highly touted young player coming from Monterrey in Liga MX. I believe that there were several CPL clubs interested in getting him in on loan, and Forge have managed to get him in. He is a natural left back. And what that also does is it maybe allows him to play somebody like Kwesi Poku a little bit further forward as well, who's a player that I know Bobby Smyrniotis rates very highly and wants to have part of his team. And maybe if he's played a little bit higher up the pitch and Parra can handle some of those defensive duties, then that might help get the most out of another very young player who is going to be very important to this team. All right, we have 1 minute left. Mitchell, what does success look like for Forge in 2024?
I mean, trophies are the minimum for Forge at this point. I think winning the CPL Shield maybe this year will be a bigger target in terms of demonstrating that consistency and being good over the bulk of the season instead of, just over the sprint again, as they have been in past years. I also think it'd be big for them if they can finally beat an MLS side. They'll get a fourth crack at CF Montreal they can beat York in the Canadian Championship. So I think that would be big for them and next step in their evolution.
I agree. I think the Canadian Championship is actually quite big for this club this year because they haven't really, it's kind of something missing from their resume is they don't have that deep run. They obviously played a final against TFC. They've been to penalties against MLS teams twice. They've never beaten one. I think that's actually going to be something that they're quite focused on this year as they you know, try, I suppose, to proceed in that competition throughout the year. But even York is not an easy matchup for them, who always give them kind of their one of their best games of the season. We have 2 seconds, 1 second.
Oh.
Is that better?
I don't know.
Is that better?
I wish there was an alarm that was like, yeah, we need to find an alarm that's like just like the three whistles at the end of a football match. That would probably be a little bit more on theme, but the terrifying radar alarm is what we're going to go with for now. Anyway, thank you very much for watching our second of the CPL season previews on the CPL Newsroom presented by Volkswagen. Thank you very, very much for watching, and we hope we see you very soon with our next one. And if you're listening on the podcast with audio, we have, as we did last time, another treat for you. I obviously sat down with Bobby Smyrniotis earlier this month at Tim Hortons Field to just chat a little bit about all sorts of things about, you know, his club and I don't know what else, whatever else you'd really want to talk to Bobby about. So we will leave you again with a more eloquent and more interesting voice than my own. Thank you very much for staying along with us. Bobby Smyrniotis is a four-time Canadian Premier League champion, and he is here with us at Tim Hortons Field. Tell me what it's like now that you guys are back in training, back on the ground, and looking ahead to, again, trying to defend another trophy.
One thing that always stands out to me is sixth year. Mm-hmm. You know, here we are, you know, back in 2019, this league is starting up to create something special here in Canada and the Canadian soccer landscape, and just happy to still be around and, of course, happy to have had and blessed to have had some success along the way.
You guys lifted that North Star Cup last fall, fourth time you've won that final. Looking back on just these last 5 years, is there an awareness at this club of how special this is?
I think sometimes when you're involved in it and you're in it and you're doing it, maybe you don't really look at it that way. Maybe years from now, we'll look at it and say, you know, how special it is, because in modern day sport and in sports in North America, where you have salary caps and different things, it's not a normal thing. I just think it's something, you know, we strive for as a club. It's something we wanted to build from the beginning, building that culture, building that identity, and that identity comes with winning.
You know, looking toward 2024, I'd imagine obviously you guys want to be lifting that cup again, but are there eyes on other whether specific or more general goals? Again, what is that maybe next level that you want to push these guys to, challenge them with?
Yeah, I think one thing is it's the season needs to end with hardware. Mm-hmm. We have different opportunities to do that through three competitions or three types of trophies that are presented to us, two through the Canadian Premier League and one through the Canadian Championship. Canadian Championship is something you want to add. Obviously, we've been there, we've been very close to that. But most importantly, it's about how we become better as a team, how we become better as a footballing team, how we challenge ourselves.
In terms of motivation, how is that done, you know, year after year at this club when, you know, you do reach those heights and you just want to continue to stay there and push on to another level?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, you have a core group of players that have been around here for a while, whether that's some guys going into their sixth year, some guys in their fourth year, third year, and, you know, they understand not what we ask, but what it is to be a player for Forge. Mm-hmm. And I think that makes it easier when you have new players coming in. They're coming here not only, you know, to play, to enjoy the game, but they're coming here because they have a thirst for success.
You know, just one of the new players that I do want to ask about, because I know he was so good when he was here before, was Cisse. Tell me about getting him back and what it's like to have him back and just what makes him so special as a player and so good for this team.
Yeah, Ali is excellent. You know, he's part of the short history of this club. You know, him wanting to make a return here as well, it's a perfect fit. And I think every coach wants a player like Cisse in their lineup. You know, we'll try and keep him out of the goal this year so he doesn't, you know, fill every position on the pitch, but that's who he is. We have to be able to change things up within the squad, and he gives us an excellent ability to do that.
Absolutely, Bobby. I think we'll leave it there. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Charlie.
Appreciate it.